The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello, everyone. A warm welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. Dave Kellner here, joined by race horse owner Tom Morley to preview Sunday's racing action. And we join you recording this at 10 to 4 on Saturday afternoon after one of the most exciting Group 1s of the season, if not the most exciting Group 1 of the season, the Eclipse Stakes, which ended up going to Ulysses, who prevailed in a head-bobbing finish with Barney Roy. Tom, let's get straight into it. It was fantastic. Superb Eclipse Stakes.
It was. Had all sorts of things. Cliffs of Moher nearly fell over.
Yes.
Got badly hampered. How much that cost him, I expect time will tell. We'll probably hear in a few days that he's strained something. Eminent pulled too hard.
What are you suggesting by that?
Nothing, absolutely nothing. That he might have a legitimate excuse for running not that well.
No.
Eminent pulled too hard. Bunny Roy pulled a bit hard early on.
I thought that was some performance. To be involved in the finish, having pulled like that on a horse that was stepping up in distance when it was unproven over 10 furlongs, to still be there at the end and fighting, it proves that horse is tough as teak.
Oh, because Ulysses came absolutely cantering. And you thought Ulysses went at least a head up, and Barney Roy just knuckled down and knuckled down. Like, a couple more strides, he'd have got back up. Mm. Like, whether that's because Ulysses was idling or what, I don't know. But Barney Roy is tough. Slightly disappointing that the third horse wasn't one of the fancied ones.
Yeah.
I don't know whether that downgrades it or whether it just is saying that, you know, a couple of them, Cliffs of Moher and Eminent, gave themselves no chance as well. Eminent gave itself no chance. Cliffs of Moher was unlucky.
Do you see Barney Roy dropping back in distance now, or do you think they'll campaign that horse over 10 and maybe even go up to 12?
Well, certainly wasn't stopping, was it?
No.
I mean, it was getting...
You just think with a horse that
it needs to settle.
That's the
problem.
Is the horse going to settle now because he's had a few starts on the race course?
The only thing, today's race was the pace looked quite muddling early. They didn't go quick. So if you could get a truer run race, then maybe he would sell.
Yep.
So it opens a lot of options up for them because now they can really pick and choose as they like, I guess. We'll see what they say.
And you've been in the studio this afternoon,
yes.
Tom, on Racing Radio, and I don't know if you managed to see Jim Crowley's reaction to winning the race. It's fantastic to see a jockey that's the champion jockey still being excited about winning a Group 1.
Absolutely. I'm not sure that is one of the greatest reactions we've seen for ages, to be honest, from anyone. He was over the moon.
Yeah.
Which is, yeah, nice to see some emotion because, let's be honest, they are big things, these races.
And given the way Ulysses travelled, there wasn't much reason for Jim Crowley, apart from in the final furlong, to resort to the whip.
No.
The whip.
Is that leading on to the whip?
I wouldn't do that to you.
Yes, you would.
I wouldn't do that to you because I said, I'm sure it's been discussed on this podcast already. Ad nauseum. I just wanted your quick comment on it. I've read lots of articles. I've not got a strong opinion on it, and a lot smarter people than me have been writing about this. Kevin Blake did a good piece on the At the Races website. Tom Kerr's done his piece, which was well written, in the Racing Post, despite the slightly sensationalist headline.
I think that was the problem, wasn't it?
Which was kind of misleading.
Yeah, because it's not actually really what it said at all in the article.
No, but. Bruce Millington wants to sell newspapers and create controversy, and it worked, didn't it? Because for the next 48 hours...
He certainly got the second part of that. I don't know about selling the newspapers.
Anyway, what's your opinion?
I can see what the point of the article was about the general public perception. We live in a world where it's dangerous to breathe. Let alone use things like a whip on an animal. It's just people are, well, I guess it's each to their own, but I think people are a little bit over the top. But I understand the public perception is important. We want new people to come into racing, and for those who don't understand the sport and things, if you talk about a human whipping an animal,
yep,
even with something that doesn't really hurt that much and is more of a persuader or a tickler, it's just still public perception that it's a bad thing. It could be perceived as cruelty, but it isn't cruel. But you can understand where they're coming from, and one day it may well be got rid of, because we do live in a world where everything's got rid of.
I found it fascinating that in Norway they don't use the whip anymore, and the Racing Post did interview Walter Buick,
yeah,
who was a champion jockey numerous times in Norway, and he said that the sport had become ugly to watch in his country because of the banning of the whip, and horses were reluctant to race, and you couldn't drop a horse in. More horses were wearing headgear. And his quote, I'll see if I can see it here. Yeah, he said it's like a scene from an old Western movie with horses charging in all directions.
There is a strong element to that, because the whip is used to guide horses as well, stop them hanging left, right, and all over the place. It's not just for persuading them to go faster, and we all know some horses don't like it anyway and don't go faster when it's used on them.
Yes.
So I think it has more than one purpose.
Mm.
And you do not want horses veering all over the place, because then you're going to get into a dangerous game, and that's no good for anyone. So are people going to say, we can carry them and wave them in the air, I don't know.
I don't think people are put off by... I don't think that's why people aren't coming into the sport.
No.
I don't think it's got anything to do with it whatsoever. I think what should happen is...
Let's be honest, the people who are that anti it won't like racing full stop.
Precisely.
Because they won't believe that horses should be bred to race.
Exactly.
The only purpose a racehorse has in life.
I think the only thing precisely. I think the thing that should be done is that if you go to the race course for an afternoon out, there should be some educational literature or some... I suppose there should be someone there showing the general public what the whip is, how it works... And how
not very painful at all, because it's padded.
You can hit a human on the hand and they barely feel it.
Yeah, I think it was Brendan Powell who put pictures up on Twitter of a whip. I might be wrong. I think it was him from years ago that he had to one now, and you just compare the difference. They're not in the same county as to what they actually do.
Mm.
So it'll be interesting to see. But I think the main problem was the sensational headline.
Yes, I think that stirred up stirred up racing people.
It did, yes.
Let's talk about Sunday's action then. You've got four selections for us. We're going to spin through a couple at Ayr and a couple at Market Raisin. The 350 at Ayr is a handicap over a mile, and you've done extensive notes on this contest, Tom. Abu Sharma comes into this having finished third on the last three occasions. Not many of these horses come in with
not many of them like winning.
No, not many of them like winning. There's some of them, a couple of them, one that I've just mentioned, Abu Sharma and Magistral, who have pretty consistent profiles, but not those ones next to their names.
Yeah, I mean, we can start with those. Abu Sharma's just a victim of his own consistency. Third the last three times. Never moves in the handicap. And it's probably every single race he runs in, the handicapper works around what he does and moves everyone else and just leaves this horse alone. Are you sure to go well? Is he likely to win? Probably not. He's probably likely to come about third. Magistral has had two runs for this trainer. PJ McDonald, who rides today, has been on board both times. Both were here, but over seven furlongs. Both times came second. Unlucky, to be honest, on each of the runs. Looked like this step up in trip will help. Perhaps he could sit a bit closer to the pace and... I've got this feeling he might come second again, though. So I think they're going to go to type. I think the top horse, Royal Shaheen, is an interesting horse. Gets a visor on for the first time. Could help eke out a bit more from this geldings. Yet to get off the mark here after two wins in Germany. Mark fell in 2016, despite little snippets of form that year. Finished third to Nicholas T, the first run after his gelding. That was here. He was unlucky. Zodiacus and Cherry Tornado, Crazy Tornado. I don't know where I've got cherry from. Not my favourite fruit either, if it is a fruit.
Yes, it is.
It is.
I can confirm that.
Okay. And he's, again, not had the best of luck at Ayr over a bit further in June. Probably the fast ground at Haydock in a better race was enough to find him out. But I think back here with the visor on for the first time, I reckon he can progress past our consistent placed horses. Crazy Tornado's £2 lower than his win at Carlisle. But he's always quite a short price, this horse.
Yeah.
And they must be expecting more, but he's just consistently not doing it for them. At some point, he'll pop up. I can't really see why he should reverse placings with Royal Shaheen anyway. And then you've got horses like Redvers, Interwin, Argaki. Well, they're gone at the moment.
Yeah, Argaki slipped way down the handicap. I mean, this horse, I think, is £16 lower than when he won over Course and Distance a couple of years ago now, but hasn't shown anything to suggest there's signs of life there.
No, I mean, Redvers used to be a really decent horse, but he's just a pale imitation of it these days. So Zodiac, a second time cheap pieces on, but again, they just don't win most of these. And I think Royal Shaheen has got a little bit more, at least he has won in his previous life in Germany, and he can improve past them with the first time visor and notch up a first victory in Britain.
Okay, Royal Shaheen, the selection in the 350 at air. The 420 at air is a handicap, a Class 3 contest over a mile. Attracted just the six runners, which is slightly disappointing, I suppose. And Town Charter will be of definite interest. Mark Johnston's going very well at the moment.
Yeah, I think the most crucial point of this is the three-year-old allowance that Town Charter's going to get from his rivals. £9 is a hefty amount for the others to give. One concern is the fact he's only tried 1 mile once, and that was two runs back when he was a pretty disappointing favourite at Redcar. But being beaten by a horse like Mutahardi, it's not that bad. And he failed to get any cover that day, far too keen. So I think he's got some excuses. Newmarket run the time before, he had a lot of trouble in running and ran an absolute blinder. Chester the last time, he was drawn 9 out of 9. So that was a pretty reasonable effort as well for that one. You look at the rest in the race, you've got 2 for 2 was runner-up off a higher mark in this last year, and the cheap pieces have soon returned after racing without them last time. Perhaps they forgot to declare him with them, I'm not sure. But last two runs have been disappointing. He's run fine here. I mean, that's the other thing with the Johnson horse. He's won at this track, and I do think Ayr's a tricky track at times. I find it very ridgy, and lots of horses don't handle it. So it's handy that you know, he has handled it before Town Charter. Lavetta closed out 2016 in good style, but 2017 showed nothing. Finn Class probably likes a bit of cut. Came good at Thurskin Mate, but he's always had quirks. And he's resorted to type after that, pretty much. And to give the Town Charter the weight, I think, will be too much. Normandy Lady, quite lightly raced. But a lot can be said from the run at Nottingham in May. It beat Lincoln Rocks. Then at Musselburgh in June, it's been absolutely trounced by Lincoln Rock. So I think that's gone off form. And Little Lady Katie showed nothing this year. So, yeah, the logical choice for a number of reasons is Town Charter.
Town Charter, the selection in the 420 at air. Just before we move on to Market Raisin, which of your horses should we be looking out for?
Well, I would love to think that Royal Berth could repeat his success at Ascot in the Big Heritage Handicap on Saturday.
Right, okay.
But that's probably quite a big ask. But he's only about £3 or £4 higher than last year.
Yeah.
So
want to keep an eye on, and I like a big price there as well.
I don't know how big a price it will be. He might. He could be single figures, just I think. But it's going to be a really open race. Going to need a lot of luck in the draw and the way the race pans out. But Ascot is his perfect turf track for a horse that probably generally has shown better form on the all weather. To be honest, I could do a little bit of some new stock.
Right, okay.
I think a lot of them have done pretty well over the last sort of 18 months, 2 years, and they've probably reached the end of their bit and, need to...
How do you go about acquiring new stock then?
I go to the sales and stick my hand up far too much. to be honest, the sales next week at Newmarket, but I have to confess I've not even looked through the catalogue, but that will be a job for tomorrow.
Yep.
After my work up here, you see.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we're working you hard here. I've been in that studio all day, today and
yesterday.
And now you're in here talking to me on a podcast.
Yeah, so...
No time for looking through the catalogue and browsing.
No, when it comes to the
shopping.
When it comes to the October rota, I'll make sure I don't put that I'm available in the week before or the week of the sales.
Okay, let's talk Market Raisin then. A couple of races, and you picked out a couple of selections in these two contests. The 4 o'clock at Market Raisin, a handicap chase over 2 miles and 5.5 furlongs. Six runners here. Flying Eagle has as many trainer switches as runs recently.
Fairly within the family, though.
Yes, admittedly. Has been on the point.
Do you think he's moved box in that time?
I think he's probably stayed in the same box. What's the selection?
Well, we'll talk about Flying Eagle first, because he actually hasn't been seen under rules, has he, since September 2015, when he ran all right on his chasing debut and would have finished closer to the protagonist that day, got hampered. But 2017 has seen him hitting the point-to-point scene 8 times. Didn't start off that well, but then suddenly notched up a 5-timer, albeit mostly in small fields. Got to merit some strong consideration because clearly he's in great heart and he can jump fences.
I think you've hit on the key point, though, with the prices this horse has been.
This is the thing. I think there was one race where it had a reasonable size field. Otherwise,
yes,
short prices in small fields. It's only a small field here, I guess. Mm. But also, the point-to-point races were over far further than this race.
Yeah.
So I'm not. I respect him, but I'm not overexcited by him. That being said, there's not a huge amount in this race. Foundation Man was in good form in late 2016. Mark of 125 seems to be stretching him. Or it may be that after 5 months off, he simply hasn't regained the form that he was showing previously. So possibly one to keep an eye on for the future, but hard to see him here. Dorman won a couple of races over hurdles at Carlisle and Sedgefield. They were novice hurdles, but that got the mark moved to 1-2-2. Didn't look competitive off that mark at Hexham, even though it was a third quick run. Went back chasing again and again showed the mark seemed to be a little bit too high for that one. Shady Glen gets the blinkers back on instead of the visor. Seems to be in good heart, but again, you look at the mark of 107, still appears to be too high. Wins last year were off 83 and 93. Brave Spartacus got his usual partner, Miss Todd, on board. She's never won on him. This horse has won 9 times. That being said, she's done all right. You know, the horse has been placed. I'm not blaming her. And he's in good form as well, judging from his third at Cartmel and second at Perth. But he, I think, probably have to settle for a place again because this maxed out King is where I'd be looking. Mm. 3 wins from his last 5 runs. Won novice handicap chases in December last year at Sedgefield and Newcastle. Continued improvement in May when winning a handicap chase off 107. Last time at Southall, dropped back in trip. Probably not ideal. I think the upward momentum back at this trip can be resumed here, and I'd be going with Maxed Out King.
Maxed Out King in the 4 o'clock at Market Rasen. And then we finish with the feature handicap hurdle at Market Rasen on Sunday. This is the 4:35, and it's a race over 2 miles and 7 furlongs. Again, small field, just the 5 of them. And
not many runners at Market Rasen tomorrow in most of them. And I wasn't going to pick the lady riders race in the last, where Ollie Murphy's got 5 in it, I think.
This race as well, we get to see, we're quite familiar with some of these, because we've got the Torrad Man's 11 years old now. Volner de Tai's been around for what seems like an eternity as well.
Doesn't turn up very often in his life, but not these days.
And Oscar Tia was actually a winner last time out, Oscar Tia.
Yeah, gone up £13 for that win at Market Rasen. The ride seems fair because it won by 17 lengths. And although that was only his second run back for this old yard, because he was here once before, you just got to be slightly concerned. It was very out of the blue.
Yeah.
And I just can't. I can't be confident he's going to repeat it.
No, I think that's fair.
As I was going through it, I was thinking it's Volney de Tay. I'm going to pick Volney de Tay, but then I changed my mind. Volney de Tay hasn't been seen much in the last 2 seasons. Got to go back to December 2015 when he won a novice chase at Doncaster, 3-runner race. That's when he last won. Ran a blinder at Sandown in April when he was good third to Lamy Surge. And you thought he'd come back to nail some better results over the hurdles. Hmm. Little disappointing at Haydock the following time, which we'll talk about in a second. Then ran a decent enough race at Perth over fences. Does set a good standard. Could potentially give the rest weight. But I looked at that race in between at Haydock, and the Torrad Man was also in that. And the Torrad Man's won 5 times in the last 13 months. Most recent win at Warwick in April, which got his mark put up another £6. But he ran okay at Haydock. Finished in front of Volney de Tay, despite being keen. Why should Volney de Tay really reverse the placings? So I thought the Torrad Man might be the way to go here as a slightly, I don't know what price they're going to be tomorrow, but I suspect Volney de Tay might be the favourite.
Yes.
And with Oscar TA, you know, running such a good race last time, it might make the Tourad Man actually reasonable value. Sandy Mount won at Market Raisin, only to flop a week later at Cartmel. Needs to bounce back from that, which could do, because it could just be that it was too quick. Dovell's Date hasn't been hurdling since November, but has been on the flat and won the last twice at Lingfield and Chepstow. So that's obviously in some good form, but they were average racers. So I just thought the Tourad Man might be the way to go there.
Very good. Very good. Thank you, Tom.
Thank you.
And don't get too frisky at the sales. Sit on your hands if you need to.
I might choose not to go on the Wednesday, so that will only leave the Thursday and Friday to make some bad judgments.
Thank you to Tom for his preview of the cards at Ayr and Market Raisin. Make sure you tune in to William Hill Racing Radio again on Sunday. We have Limerick, Ayr and Market Raisin as the three meetings, and we will be live on air from 1:20 p.m. It's Ollie Pimlott joined by Seb Sanders and John Budden on Sunday for all the racing action. Thank you for tuning into the Racing Podcast. I do hope you enjoyed it, and make sure you check out William Hill Racing Radio on Sunday afternoon.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.